Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Welcome all of you to the house of God. And welcome everyone watching right now. Welcome to this evening's service. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It is a privilege, it is an honor, it is a joy to share the Word of God with you. My desire is always for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. My desire is for you to see the Lord Jesus, just like Job saw the Lord. Just like so many mighty men saw God, had an encounter with Him, and their lives were completely changed. It is my wish that you will know the Lord on a personal level, on a one-on-one basis. You know, sometimes we just go through life reading about this God through the pages, and you might have verses memorized, but you never have a personal experience, a personal encounter, a relationship with Him. And that is the reason why we do this, is to be closer and closer to the Lord, is to have a personal experience with Him. Because I tell you, nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. A relationship with God. Amen? Amen? Praise God. I have some verses to get through here this evening. So I want to get into the Word of God right away. So let's start before we move any forward. Let's pray. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we praise You. Thank You, Lord, so much for this wonderful day that You've created. Thank You so much, Lord, for the wonderful people who are here to worship, gather together, Lord, with us. I thank You, Lord, for everyone who is watching this right now. And I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will come. Your Holy Spirit will come and take over the service and open up the minds and the ears and the heart of everyone, Lord, that's listening right now. In Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, everything that is contrary to the Spirit of God, anything that is negative, anything that try to weigh itself against the things of the Lord, I cast it out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, so much for Your Holy Spirit in this place. Take precedence, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I want to talk this evening about the abundant life. The abundant life. I've been willing to talk about this for, I think about a month now. And then yesterday, sometime in the afternoon, I was coming down 695. So I was on my way back home. And while I'm in my car, the Lord spoke to me and said, tomorrow you're going to speak about the abundant life. I said, okay. All right, Lord. Thank You. I appreciate it. So, now, this topic could be shared in various different ways. We could be speaking about finances. We could be speaking about health. We could be speaking about so many things when it comes to abundance and life. However, today I'm going to take a slightly different approach. So I would pray, I'd wish that you pay special attention right now to everything that's going to be said, because this message is for you that's watching right now. We're going to talk about what is living life abundantly and the true meaning of it. And I want to bring to your attention right now the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as mentioned in John chapter 10, verses 10. May I have that, please? The beginning of the verse, this verse says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. And not just that, it doesn't stop right there. But also, and that they may have it more abundantly. So it's almost like this is a two-stage part to this. I'm not just going to give you life. You're going to have an awesome life. You're going to have a joyous life. You're going to have meaning. However, there are some things that we need to know to help us have a better life, better living. Every single day we are so busy writing in the history books things of our lives. Every single day, every single minute, every single hour, every single week, every single month, every single year. We have plans. We make plans ahead of time. Okay, I would like to graduate high school. Graduate college by this age, and I want to be married by this age, and I want to have X amount of children by this age, and then from then on, I'm going to do this, this, this. Or maybe it could be something slightly different. But we are always busy writing a history of our lives. And at the end of the year, we close another chapter of our lives and we start a new one. And then, at the end of life, we close the book. And that is it. That is your entire life from beginning to end. Everything that you've done, everything that you've accomplished. And I need you to know tonight that this book that we close when we move from this earth, when we leave this earth, that book will be reopened one day in Judgment Day. Let me bring to your attention right now Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15, please. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As we see here, yes, every single day we are writing and filling in the pages of our books. Every single day. From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed and then throughout the night, all of that is being recorded. And we should strive to make each chapter of our lives the very, very best possible. Every single one of us. And we can make our lives the best way possible if we let the Lord Jesus guide us through this life. If we let the Lord Jesus guide us through the situations that we go through, when we lean on God for everything. And so, we need to study this subject concerning things. We need help so that we can live better lives. So we can live better before the Lord, before man. Amen, church?
Amen.
It's very important for us to be aware of pitfalls in our lives and problems that might arise from all different angles, from all different walks of life, from every single situation. And this is what we're going to cover this evening. The very first thing that is going to help us live a better life is the realization of the value that you have of your soul. Did you know that your soul is very, 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 very much valuable? Extremely valuable. We are so busy writing the histories of our lives that sometimes we don't give it second thought. When we witness to people, from time to time we come across someone who might say, "Oh, this is not important, this is not for me, I'm just not ready, I'm too young for this." I mean, they'll come up with all types of excuses to why they cannot attend church, to why religion doesn't fit their schedule, between so many other things. And only the individual that realizes that his or her soul is prepared to live the life God wants him or her to live is the only way that they will know the best thing for them, for him or her, as far as living a productive life, an abundant life, a blessed life. But it all starts with the value that is placed in your soul. Do you know the value of your soul? How valuable it is? May I please have Matthew chapter 16, verses 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Here in the scripture, Matthew 16, 26, it's comparing your single soul with the entire world and everything that's in it. What does it profit if you are the richest, the single most richest person in the world? The single most richest person, but you will not inherit eternal salvation. Do you know why it's so valuable? Well, the number one reason is that it's because it's from God. Your soul was given to you from the Lord Himself. It was made in His image. Your soul. God gave it to you. And out of everything that exists, out of everything that you know, as far as yourself is concerned, your soul is the only thing that is eternal. Forever. That is the only thing. When you depart from this earth and your body goes to the grave, your soul does not go to the grave with it. It's going to go to one of two places. May I please have Matthew chapter 10, verses 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Right? Realizing the value of the soul, one should want to take the very best care of it possible. 100%. It is unique in that it is the only one that you'll ever have. Ever. Right now, I'm starting to see more and more videos, short videos, on my feed, on my social media feed, of men coming back from war, or usually, you know, it's along those lines where they're putting on a prosthetic leg on someone, which is wonderful. It just means that technology is getting so much better now than just 10, 20 years ago. You know, the materials that they are using, how it's fitted into your thigh. You know, how it's strapped around you. You have people now, I'm starting to see like weightlifters, bodylifters with, you know, a prosthetic leg or running a marathon or something like that. That's amazing. Technology now, it's come to the point where I've seen also people hooking up these things in your brain, and it reads basically the brain waves, and there's the prosthetic arms and there's fingers, and now your mind can somewhat, to an extent, control these things just by wearing like a headband with a whole bunch of wires in it, right? And that's awesome. Praise the Lord, you know, for the technology and the intelligence of people to come up with this stuff. Certain things in our bodies are replaceable, 100%. But your soul is not. You only get one of them. And it's the only part of you that is forever. So therefore, we must put value on it. Big time value on your soul. Amen? Amen. Also, a healthy conscience of a judgment is something that we all must be aware of. God has appointed a day of judgment. God has appointed a specific day where all of us are going to be judged. Every single one of us. All of us. May I please have Acts chapter 17, verses 31. Acts 17, 31 says, because he has appointed a day, capital He right here, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, capital M, who he has ordained. He has given assurance of this day to all by raising him from the dead. That day will come. And not only that day will come, but everybody is going to be there. Everyone is going to be there. There will be no escape for anyone for any reason at all. Every single one of us. One will be judged according to his own works in this life. And maybe that's why the Lord has recently made me speak about works. Things that we do here on earth. The things that we do, how we're going to be judged, our commitment, our dedication, our strive, our efforts, all those things will be presented before the Lord one day. We're all going to be accountable for all these things. May I please have 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, meaning right now, according to what he has done, whether it is a good thing or even a bad thing. No matter what, we will all be in front of the judgment seat. And a conscience of these facts will push us to live a better life, will help us to live a better life. Knowing that one day we are all going to answer before the Lord. Now, let me ask you this right now. Are you ready for this day? Do you ever stop and think about, am I doing the right thing right now? Am I living the right life, a righteous life? Is there something that I can improve? That way I could be righteous before the Lord. Anything whatsoever. Are you ready for that day? This is a question that we must all ask right now. The next thing I want to talk about, as far as things that will help us live a better life, is an awareness of the uncertainty of life itself. What exactly do I mean by that? If in case you don't know, life is very, very, very short. Life is extremely short in comparison to eternity. In comparison to foreverness, in comparison to eternity, in comparison to no time limit, life is just a snap. It's just a blink. It's just a breath. I mean, you name it. It's extremely short. May I please have James chapter 13 and 14. I'm sorry, James chapter 4, we're going to cover 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You see here? The analogy right now of steam, vapor, that is there for 1 to 2 seconds, and then it's gone. This is what your life is. But as for right now, we don't know when the end is going to be. As of right now, we don't know when the Lord is going to come back. And it's very, very much important that we are aware of this. We need to live every single day as though it was our last day. For one day, it will be. One day is going to be our last day. You never know when that day was going to be. Yesterday, I was heading over to Rosedale. I went over to the hospital in search of someone. And on the way there, I was on, I think that was Old Philadelphia Road, right by 695. And there was a car accident. And it was a box truck, like a medium-sized box truck, single cab, that came into collision. It was a side collision on a mid-sized car. It might have been a Toyota Camry. But this box truck was like all smashed in. Airbags deployed. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I wonder if the person driving that box truck made it. Because that thing was all squished in. But then I look at the car. And the car was hit on the driver's side, like dead smack center. And the door was open. And there were blood splatter all inside. It was a light color interior, you know. All on the side of the dash and on the side of the seat. And I said a little prayer right then and there when I saw that. And I'm bringing this to you because, and this was just yesterday, I'm bringing this to your attention because both of those people that were in those cars did not wake up that day and, you know, oh, let me put on my best because I might not, you know, be able to make it home. Or let me go ahead and call this person and tell them that I love them and I forgive them because, you know, it's such and such. No, they had no idea that they were going to be caught in a collision. I don't know if they made it. No, I don't know. At first I thought the guy or the gal in the box truck might have not made it. But then when I look at that car, I'm just going to leave it at that. So we never, never, never know when our last day is going to be. You just don't know. You hear about situations where people go to sleep and don't wake up. They might have had a silent heart attack or something, you know, something of the rather happens. Accidents. So many things. One day, that day will come, right? When we're going to leave this earth, whether it's through the Lord coming back or we're just taken away. It's very, very, very much important that we are aware of the uncertainty of life. And because of this, We must live for the Lord every single day. Amen? The next thing I want to talk about, which is something that a lot of people don't like to talk about, is the fact that there are two destinies for every single one of us. Some people might say that there is no hell, that hell doesn't exist, that it's just a theory, that's a myth, that's all these things. However, both are the same length of duration, and that is for eternal. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you choose to accept it or not, it doesn't change the fact that they are not only just real, but eternal. One place is a place of torment. And this particular place, no experience of man can compare how harsh it is, how painful it is, how horrible this place is. No comparison. There is nothing here on earth that you could compare to as far as hell is concerned. Now, the other place is a place of joy, is a place of happiness. Everything that God can give to make a person happy will be there. Happiness that you couldn't even imagine. And everything that would make somebody sad is 100% completely absent from this place. Every single thing. May I please have John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John 14, 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to take the time to mention this once again. It was a little while ago. Heaven is a place prepared for prepared people. Heaven is a place for prepared people. You're not going to accidentally stumble to heaven. It won't be by coincidence. All right? You're not simply just going to do nothing and then all of a sudden find your way in heaven. Hey, here I am. All right. It's not as bad as they say it was. No, it's not going to be that way at all. Heaven is a place that is prepared for every single person who prepared themselves to meet the Lord one day. And it starts right now. It starts living the life that we ought to live for the Lord Jesus. Now, on the contrary, hell is made for the enemy and his angels. Hell wasn't made for any of us. Hell was not made for you and I, for human beings. Hell was made for the enemy, the evil one, and all the fallen angels that came down with him, and all who serve him and are his messengers. And the Bible speaks about this in Matthew 25, 41. "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for who? The devil and his angels.'" So this place wasn't made for you. It wasn't made for you at all. However, we must choose in this life to follow Jesus, to follow God, so that way you could escape that place. Amen? Amen? Now, the final thing here that I want to talk about as far as a better life is to seek a greater degree of faith. It is something that I seek myself, every single day. Every single day. I am conscious of the fact that I need the Lord every single day. I need the Lord continuously. I need God in my life. I need Him. You know, when we lose sight of that, when we forget about this, that's when life starts getting very, very, very difficult. And I've been there. I've done that. For example, I'm going to use an example right now. Peter began to sink into the water when his faith started lacking. He took his eyes off the Lord Jesus and placed it on the waves and the rough waters and the storm that was all around him. Then he started to worry. He started to panic. He went into anxiety. He started to fear. Then instantly, right in front of the Master, he began to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord. He started losing faith. And this is why I say seeking a greater degree of faith is something that we should all strive for every single day, not just when you come to church. Unbelief causes one to depart from God. Unbelief in His Word, in His promises, in the Lord Himself starts causing that separation, that fracture, that break. And here's proof. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12, please. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. A heart of unbelief will cause a separation between you and your Lord. That is going to fracture your faith. We should call upon the Lord to help to increase our faith continually. And faith comes by hearing what? The Word of God. God's Word, continually meditating on His Word. Hearing His Word. And we need to lay aside every sort of weight, every sort of transgression that easily brings us down, that causes us to be depressed, things that works us up. We need to put that to the side. We cannot carry the junk around. We simply cannot. And Hebrews speaks about that. Still in the book of Hebrews. Now, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before you and I, looking to our Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy was set before him. Endure the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. You see the importance right now to always be connected with the Lord. To always to be after God. Lord, I need more of you every single day. Because without the Lord, all these things are going to affect us. Every single thing. The final thing I want to mention here this evening is let us be aware. Let us try to be an example. We who love the Lord, you know, all of us here and everyone, you who serves the Lord right now watching this, we are an example towards the world. No one lives and no one dies for himself and himself alone. Someone is always following after our footsteps. Always. Someone is always watching you. No matter who you are, someone is always, always, always watching you. Timothy was told to be an example to the believers. Timothy, be an example, Tim. There are people watching you. A Christian, is Christianity on display before the world, and therefore should magnify the Lord in his or her life continuously. You are constantly displaying the love of Christ, his joy, his blessing, his power. How many times have I said here on a pulpit that I might have been around a client or a co-worker who I had no idea about their background? I didn't speak to them after work, outside of working hours, maybe I might have just met someone and I walked away thinking that that person was probably a Christian. Simply because of their demeanor, simply because of how they carry themselves and how they say things, how joyous they are, friendly, courteous, I mean, you name it. It could very well be that they might have been. And they did an excellent job representing the kingdom of God. I venture to say that if that person were to strike a conversation with me, I would listen. I'd pay attention. Opposed to someone who is not very approachable. Someone who might walk around with a chip on their shoulders. Or that's just how I... No. That's not who you are. You represent the Lord. Jesus is inside of you. The Lord is with you continuously. The Spirit of God is inside of you for all of us who have given our life to Jesus. So therefore, we are always on display for the world to see what God has done in your life and what a blessing you are. And that could also mean offering encouraging words for people who might need encouraging words. That includes us too, Christians. Every single one of us. Nothing helps us to improve ourselves. Nothing helps us get over the hump like encouragement. Major encouragement. Every single one of us needs it. Myself included. I'm going to put myself in that mix. Sometimes we only speak good things about a person after they already died. How many times we see that? Oh, they were such a good person. He was a good guy. He was a good gal. All of this. No. Let's not resort also to flattery, but let us give honor where honor is due. And let us encourage one another every single opportunity we have. If we want to help our fellow Christian brother, our fellow Christian sister, to live better, to have a better life, speak words of encouragement concerning the things that individual is doing right. Raise them up. Pick them up. Be used by God. That's going to brighten up their day. That might brighten up their week. Who knows? That might leave an impression that will last a lifetime. I hear about that all the time. All simply because you were used by God to encourage a fellow brother, a fellow sister, or even an unbeliever who needed to hear those things, and now they just experienced God through you. And now the Holy Spirit takes over, starts watering that seed, and now you just won a soul to the kingdom. You might never know it, but you will know once you get to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the importance of that. So, no better or more profitable life can be lived than the one of a faithful Christian. Think about that. Know this. No better life. Sometimes I say this. I've said this before on Sunday mornings. I'm living the best life right now. Right now. Right now. This very moment, I'm living my best life. I really am. I don't have everything. I'm not rich. The Lord takes care of me. You know, I'm not in lack. You know, the Lord provides for my needs, every single thing. I have favor before men. I'm going to let you in on a little something here. So yesterday, right, when I came out of the hospital, it was around like 5 o'clock. No, it was like 4:45. So I'm coming down 40. And I was like, something's going off. What's going on? The Harley Davidson store is around the corner. Hey! My dad and I bought a motorcycle from them about three or four years ago. When I had my Harley, that's where I used to take my Harley for service. So I know the guys over there. I know the store. I've done business there before. So I was like, you know, this is the closest dealer to me, and I'm 30 minutes away from home. You know, I'm already here. They're going to close in 1 hour. Why not? Right? So let me just walk in here. And you know, praise God for this. I walk in and I'm extremely greeted. I'm greeted right away with some extremely friendly people. Big smiles, very courteous, very professional. And I look out for I watch for these things because I was in the same business, you know, of selling automobiles, but they're selling motorcycles. I was selling cars. But like these things, they speak volume to me, you know? Favor before man, where once upon a time it wasn't so. It was, I'd walk in and the guy over there in the corner in his desk, can I help you? Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. So from all the way over here, I'd be like, because I'm not going to shout across the room, across the sales floor. That's not me. No thanks. I might not even acknowledge you, right? And I had such a great time. The guy was so friendly. Yes, sir. No, sir. It was a pleasure meeting you. You know, when I left, and the guy seemed to be very honest and very sincere, and I felt special. You know, that was like, wow, I feel valued. This is just a small example from every single day, you know, when we have favor. Because I want to say that he might have felt the love of the Lord in me. I want to believe that, you know. I want that person to not mistake me for being anything else but a Christian man. I want to be able to at least have the opportunity for me to start a conversation with him, and he's going to listen to me for at least 5 minutes, because that's all I need, 5 minutes. Right? Opposed to if I had a different demeanor, a different personality. So, as far as life is concerned, profitability, as far as an abundant life, there's nothing better than being a Christian. Believe me, it's worth it. And if in case you're not there yet, right now is the time to get started. Right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the end of the year for your New Year's resolution. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. By all means, give your life to Jesus if you haven't done so. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him. Say, Lord, I want you to come right now and dwell inside of me. And place your seal inside of me, just as is mentioned in your holy book. And write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then look for a church to fellowship with. Right now, who doesn't have a smartphone? Download a Bible. There's downloadable Bibles now in the App Store or the Google Store for free. A lot of them are free. You could also pay if in case you want to study. But by all means, be in oneness with us, with the body of Christ, with your local church. Or if you're able to come here, come on down. We welcome everyone just as they are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. We bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful, beautiful day. Thank you so much, Lord, that I have and we have another day that we can come and just worship you, Lord, and serve you and be a light and be a witness to all of those, Lord, around us. Thank you so much, Lord, for another day of life. And I pray, Lord, that we would wholeheartedly dedicate, Lord, our whole entire self to you in every single thing. Lord, we want to be judged, and Lord, judged in good terms. That the good things that we've done, Lord, for you will outweigh the bad. For all the things, Lord, that we do for you, Lord, we want to serve you with all of our heart, full time, Lord. Whether it be at work, in the streets, in the supermarket, at the store, at the gas station, wherever. We want to be a light, Lord, for you. We want to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for your promises and your word. And thank you, Lord, that without you, I can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, so very much. And as we always say, Lord, we love you. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.